How would you start Jesus' story? If someone you knew asked you right now to tell them about Jesus, what exactly would you start with? Well, the beginning, right? Like the song says, the beginning is usually a very good place to start. And right now, we're kind of in a season about beginnings, this season of Jesus' start. Even though in the church we're in this season of Advent, it's hard not to have Christmas on the brain. Holiday sales, tree decorations, Christmas songs on the radio, that's the season we're in. One thing I love to do each day is to see how the houses have changed along the streets I usually take. Each day, another house has a wreath on its door or new outdoor lights. Some houses are covered in giant inflatable ducks and snowmen. Others have huge nativity scenes with life-size wise men and a baby Jesus that looks much bigger than a newborn should. And then there's the fun stuff. The lawn filled with characters from the Island of Misfit Toys. Or the one that really makes me and my son Oliver smile. The house with the lawn that has a dinosaur and an Elmo and a Darth Vader and an R2-D2 in Santa hats. All of this is part of this season of new beginnings. It points to Christmas. It tries, in some ways, to illustrate Jesus' birth and entrance into the world. And this beginning is a very good place to start. So when the author of the Gospel, according to Mark, sat down to write, to put the stories of Jesus down on paper, the author faced the same question, where to start? Now, Mark is writing 30 to 40 years after the resurrection. The first generation of disciples, the ones who walked with Jesus or learned from those who walked with Jesus, they've been dying. The next generation of Christian disciples are taking their place. So Mark is in this period of change, in this period of transition, and he's surrounded by stories. Stories of Jesus' miracles and resurrection, his betrayal and his life with the poor and unwanted. So Mark takes all that he's heard, all that he knows, all that the Holy Spirit has given him. Mark takes all of that and begins with John. Our gospel today begins with a wild man. John is a guy in the wilderness. He's dressed in camel hairs, he's eating bugs and honey, and he's out in the middle of nowhere preaching and teaching and baptizing. For Mark, John is Elijah. If you flip open your Bibles to 2 Kings, you'll see a description of Elijah there doing the same thing. People are hearing his story, hearing about John, and they're leaving their homes to find him, to see what this wild man is doing. And since I grew up in Colorado, it's hard for me not to fill in the rest of what John the Baptist looks like. To me, he's like an old-fashioned mountain man. He's big and strong, grizzled with a thick, full beard, and he spends his time chopping trees for firewood, wrestling bears, and only coming to town once a year. That's the wild man character that I grew up with, and you probably have your own. And that image is important because Mark wants us to realize that we're dealing with just that kind of wild man. He's living away from the cities. He's living in the untamed areas of the world where no political or social powers dominate. He's living off the grid before living off the grid was cool. Where the land is untamed, where nature rules, and everything is just raw. Everything is just uncivilized. But it's not uncontrolled. There might not be any cities or roads or fences, but Mark's community knew that the wilderness, the untamed places, that was where God made God's self known. Mark's community, they knew their scripture. They knew their Bible, what we call the Old Testament. They knew that when Moses met God, Moses was in the wilderness. They knew that at Mount Sinai, when God gave Moses 10 commandments to share with the Israelites, to share with them what it means to live a life freed from Egyptian tyranny and slavery, they were in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness where God sheltered David from Saul, where the prophets of old would retreat when the powers of the world did not want to hear what God had to say. And it's in the wilderness where individual and communal sins were cast out away from the community during Yom Kippur. Only in the raw places, Could our false sense of self-control, of goodness, of being right and strong and awesome be taken down? Only in the untamed places could our failures and mistakes, our pride and our unknown participation in systems that harmed others be laid bare. Only in the wilderness could we see our sins as they truly are and be met by the one who promises to not leave us where we are. And it's there where Jesus is going to appear. It's in the wild, in the mess, in these unexpected places with unexpected people. That's the stage that Mark is setting for the arrival of Jesus. Away from cities, away from political authorities, away from the temples. That's where God is going to do something brand new. That's where God is going to break through. It's there in this untamed land that John makes the bold assertion that something more is going to happen, that the one who will change the world is on his way. And that immediacy is important for Mark. There's no buildup, there's no years to wait before Jesus' ministry begins. The Son of God is happening now. There's no wait for the time to be right, no time for us to be prepared, no opportunity for the world to decide when to let God in. No, the Son of God is happening now. And it's in the wilderness, in the messiness, in the untamed areas that Jesus comes first. It's in the places that cause fear, that cause worry. That's where change will come. Not in the proper places or at the proper time, but in the way that God promises. To be known, felt, and experienced in the wilderness. To be known, felt, and experienced in our wilderness. In the untamed places that cause us worry, that causes us pain, that causes us fear. That's where God comes. That's where Jesus will make his presence first known. We're invited to come out, to go see a wild man, confess our sins, and seek a world of comfort and peace and love from God. For Mark, the start of Jesus' story begins with the wilderness. It begins with that messiness. It begins with everything that wilderness means to us. I believe we all carry in us our own wildernesses. We're filled with moments, with experiences, with feelings that have left us spending parts of our lives lost, parts of our lives without connection, with feelings of burnout or fear or loneliness, feelings of failure, feelings of brokenness. These are moments of wilderness, and these can carve themselves into our lives. They become part of who we are. They help form us and lead us, and we carry them with us into every day of our lives. So returning to that first question I asked in the beginning of the sermon, how would you start Jesus' story? What if we took a cue from Mark and we first started talking about our own wildernesses? To start Jesus' story with wilderness would mean that we would have to do a difficult thing. And that's be honest with our own story, honest with all parts of our story and what the wilderness in our lives looks like. We would need to be honest with the wildernesses that we find ourselves in, from ones that we've imposed on ourselves to those that have been imposed on us through no fault of our own. We'd have to be honest with the wildernesses we carry as folks who live here in northern New Jersey and in the United States. Honest with our own history, our culture, and what our society has said about others, said about ourselves, and be honest about the wildernesses we've created for others who didn't fit our norm. To start Jesus' story with the wilderness means to take the chance and the risk to tell our honest story, to tell our fears, our worries, our failures, and our sins. To start in the wilderness means to go into the wilderness, to go into the untamed places, to go into the uncomfortable places, and to ask for understanding, forgiveness, mercy, and love. I believe that Mark started in the wilderness because he knew what happens in the wilderness. He knew that in the uncomfortable places, God comes. He knew that in the untamed experiences, Jesus comes. He knew that in the hurt and fear and despair, the Holy Spirit is there. Our wildernesses are never so big, never so deep, never so distant that God will not go there. Our wildernesses are never so vast that they'll keep Jesus from us. Because it's in those untamed places that God comes. It's in the untidy places that God makes God's self known. It's in the places where we don't want God to go that Jesus breaks in. And he doesn't leave us alone. In these first verses from Mark, we're given an invitation to live into Jesus' beginning by starting a new beginning ourselves. Because the story of Jesus is more than just a birth story, more than just a series of events that happened 2,000 years ago in a country far from here. The story of Jesus is a story of encounter. It's a story of meeting. It's a story of presence in our lives. Any story about Jesus needs to start in the wilderness, in our wilderness, and needs to never only be a story that sounds like Jesus did this, Jesus said that, Jesus taught this. But should sound like Jesus did this for me. Jesus said this to me. Jesus taught me this, and this is how I've struggled. This is how I felt fear. This is how I've doubted. And this is how I've been changed. In this season of beginnings, of starts, of giant nativity sets and Darth Vaders and Santa hats, let's take this invitation from Mark to heart. And enter into our wilderness. Enter into our untamed places. Enter into our fears. And let's discover just how God meets us there. Amen.